In Collision Low Crossers, subtitled A Year Inside the Turbulent World of NFL Football, Nicholas Davidoff presents an insider's view of the New York Jets' 2011 season. Let's get right to the most Plimpton-esque moment from the book. 4 weeks into the season, injuries had so diminished the number of practice players that the Jets asked you to step in. How did that go?
Well, what basically my project entailed was, in effect, living with the defensive coaching staff, and that's just because they work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way a play works is that first the play is taught, and then they go out onto the field and they walk through it. But NFL players are so big and so fast that even when they're walking through things, and they would ask me to step in, and I couldn't walk through fast enough. So very quickly, they would just kick me out of the huddle. They'd say, Nick, we love you. Get out of here. Most people who know me call me Nicky, but in football, I was always Nick because Nick hits harder than Nicky.
Tell us what the book's title, Collision Low Crossers, means.
Collision Low Crossers is a defensive term, and it refers to the fact that once receivers leave the line of scrimmage, they are fair game for a defensive player to hit for within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. But more broadly, I just like the idea that there's always somebody out there waiting to ruin your life in football, and that's what the term, I think, also suggests.
We spoke with Rex Ryan, the head coach of the Jets, a couple of years ago on Only a Game, and he was entertaining and very engaging. In the book, you mention Ryan's, quote, great inclusive sympathy and his artistic temperament. Tell us how those characteristics inform his work.
Among the players, they adore him. Unlike many football coaches, he really cares about their physical condition and about their physical future. And sometimes when players are hurt and they want to play, he won't let them play. And he'll say, you're just not a piece of meat to me. I'm not letting you out there. And he's sort of a master of a very brief form of interaction. You're responsible for close to 100 people. And as you bump into them through the course of your day, Rex Ryan was the sort of person who, even in that very slender window of time, it was wonderful how he could express his enthusiasm and curiosity about other people in such a way that he could learn meaningful things about people.
Mark Sanchez was the quarterback when you were with the Jets, and he struck you as an intriguing character because he asked questions like, what's up with Gaddafi? And sometimes he took his teammates to see Broadway musicals. Is Sanchez unusual just because he has interests other than football?
Sanchez is really curious about the world. He's an engaged, you know, enthusiastic person. He'd stop you in the hallway and ask you if you knew what the seven wonders of the world were. This is not every other player on the team. It's a really, really rigorous sport for a quarterback, and it requires deliberate, serious study. And I sometimes just a little bit had the feeling that Sanchez hadn't quite matured as a person in the way for this highly exposed profession to see him at his best.
Toward the end of Collision Low Crossers, you describe the business of pro football as, quote, a strange multi-billion dollar world where men give their lives to make a violent, dangerous sport beautiful to watch. Give their lives is dramatic. Do you think the players and coaches on the Jets would agree with that description?
I was thinking in that passage particularly of the coaches, and I think during the season they wouldn't disagree. I would say that they would say that the run-up to training camp and through training camp and through the season, that they consider their wives, if they are married, to be single parents. They consider their children to be fatherless orphans in a way. I mean, it's a question of whether they're going to get 4 hours of sleep that night. And they really, really live in a completely obsessed bubble. They don't know about the most basic things that are happening out in the world. It was fascinating to me that that level of commitment could often come without ultimate achievement because only one team can win. What are the odds? 31 of 32 are going to lose. And that was something that I really liked about football in a way. They deepened an understanding, a way of disappointment. And I think that there is something very human about failure. It's the more common human experience. In my year with the Jets, they won their first two games. And the quarterback's coach, Matt Cavanaugh, sidled over to me and he said, Nicky, and he's looking around at all these happy people. And he said, this is nothing. You're not seeing the NFL yet. The only time that you will really begin to see the NFL is when things go really badly. It's just what people do with it. And one of the things I most admired about those coaches was that they knew what to do with it.
It's interesting that you characterize football that way because of what sport could that not be said? One team wins the World Series. One team wins the NBA championship. One team wins the NCAA Final Four. I mean, isn't it true of all sports? Wimbledon, one winner.
It's true of all sports, and I'm thinking primarily of team sports. I think what distinguishes football is the ratio of preparation to actual competition. There are only 16 one-hour games, and they're spending their whole life. They're spending 18-hour days all for these 16 one-hour moments. And so when things don't go well, it's really crushing. In a baseball season, it's 162 games. It's a sort of more reflective, slowly revealing endeavor. Football is punctuated by these tremendous moments of exposure. And I think because the moments are so few, the moments are so much more emotionally telling.
Nicholas Davidoff is the author of Collision Low Crossers, A Year Inside the Turbulent World of NFL Football. The book is published by Little Brown, and the author joined me from Yale University. Nicholas, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
To read an excerpt of Collision Low Crossers, visit onlyagame.org. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross Radio Line, a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.
One of the most troubling aspects of the record set by stuntman Joe Todling this week is that probably somebody will try to break it. Having politely asked his wife to set him on fire, Mr. Todling blazed away in the streets of Augsburg, Austria for 5 minutes and 41 seconds, incinerating the old record by 15 seconds. Of his selection of an accomplice, the burning man said, "My wife always knows how to get me hot, so she was the obvious choice." The official title for Mr. Todling's stunt is Longest Duration Full Body Burn, which should leave no doubt about what he has accomplished. I'm on fire.